In this podcast episode, an interview with an Ayurvedic medicinist, information on jogging versus walking for fitness and breaststroke versus freestyle for triathlon, women's multivitamins, and electromagnetic fields.
Welcome to the Ben Greenfield Fitness.com podcast. We provide you with free exercise, nutrition, weight loss, triathlon, and wellness advice from the top fitness experts in the nation. So whether you're an Ironman triathlete or you're just trying to shed a few pounds, get ready for non-run-of-the-mill, cutting-edge content from BenGreenfieldFitness.com.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Ben Greenfield coming at you from Seaside, Oregon, on my way over to the Boise Half Ironman Triathlon. And this week, I have an interesting interview that continues our discussion into about minerals, mineral supplementation, mineral deficiency, and whether or not people really actually are deficient in minerals and what they can do about it to enhance their health or enhance their performance. So I have an interview today with a woman named Ambaya, who is an Ayurvedic medicinist. And if you don't know what Ayurvedic medicine is, you will. I thought it was an interesting interview, and I want to apologize in advance for the fact that there are a few little distractions during the interview. The phone rings a couple of times. As a matter of fact, somebody actually picks up the other line, but sometimes these things are out of our control. So either way, it's some good information in that interview, especially about a couple of compounds I really wasn't familiar with called fulvic acid and humic acid, which are actually elements found in dirt, more or less, if it's the right type of dirt. And that is one of the reasons, or the absence of those acids is one of the reasons that many of us aren't getting the type of minerals that we need from food, because those are very important in the actual absorption utilization of minerals. A lot of listener Q&As this week, a lot of great questions. You're going to get a lot out of it. And also, we've got a few special announcements coming up, as well as some information on the progress of the people who are taking on the Shape 21 Lean Body Challenge. So let's go ahead and move on to this week's content from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. And remember, if you want to subscribe to the show in iTunes, if you're just listening to this on your computer and you want to subscribe in iTunes, then you can just go to iTunes, do a search for Ben Greenfield Fitness, click subscribe, and while you're over there, leave us some feedback. We'd love to know what you think about the show. And remember, you can always email me, Ben@BenGreenfieldFitness.com, if you would like to ask a question or if you have things that you would like to see on the show. We also have a toll-free number. It's 877-209-9439.
Special announcements.
Before I talk about some of the other special announcements this week, let me remind you that for those of you in the Spokane or Coeur d'Alene area, coming up next week, beginning on June 18th, is the brand new Unparalleled Secrets of Fat Loss Clinic. That's going to take place in both Spokane, Washington, and Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. It's a 5-week clinic. And let me just give you a little bit of insight into the syllabus, because this is going to be available eventually in both video and PDF format for those of you listening who are not in the local area. But over the 5 weeks, the first week, we're going to explain how and why fat formation actually occurs. There's a lot more to it than you would think. And we're going to compare the pros and the cons of popular exercise programs, and then lay out what the perfect exercise program would look like, the science behind it, why it works, take some Q&A. And then you're going to be introduced to a hands-on exercise component that's going to walk you through how to do a metabolic resistance training workout, and you'll get a handout that shows you how to do that workout. In the second week, it's going to be a shift to diets. We're going to compare a lot of different diets out there, talk about why some of them work, why some of them don't. We're going to glean some of the best parts from each of the most popular diets that are out there, and then help you generate a meal plan for yourself and talk to you about the important questions you need to ask yourself when you generate that meal plan, teach you how to grocery shop, and again, have a pretty comprehensive Q&A and an introduction to another metabolic resistance training workout during that second week. The third week, it's really going to be a focus more on supplements, dietary supplements, nutritional supplements, an overview of fat burners, what works, what doesn't, what would be kind of the top supplements to take and which ones you would actually want to avoid, what would be a waste of your money, what wouldn't, but you'll leave as kind of an expert in supplementation. The fourth week, we'll talk about some of the things that go beyond nutrition and beyond exercise. We'll talk about couple of components that can actually affect your hormones, your neurotransmitters, and the chemicals in your body that are responsible for fat loss. I'll be walking you through components like stress, like sleep. We'll have a pretty comprehensive Q&A there as well. That'll be a lot of yoga, a lot of stress reduction during that class, and teaching you how to sleep better and a lot of tricks and tips and tactics that you can use to trick your body into that deep sleep. And then finally, in the last week, we will discuss quite a few different components of fat loss that include food allergies, nutritional deficiencies, yeast and fungus infections, hormone imbalances, all the reasons that nutrition and exercise and lifestyle management sometimes don't work if your body is in a state that's going to make it resistant to fat loss. So there'll be a lot of information during that clinic, and over 5 weeks you will learn quite a bit, and you'll get a class completion certificate at the end and a complete book that gives you all the workouts that we went over during the class. So if you want to sign up for that, you can email me, ben@bengreenfieldfitness.com. You can call us, 877-209-9439. The class is capped at 12 participants in Coeur d'Alene and 12 in Spokane. So you're going to want to get a hold of me if that is something that you would like to do. And then also remember that if you would like to get your hands on over 1,500 minutes worth of audio in a 10-CD multi-disc set that includes quite a few of the interviews from this show, stripped of any commercials or special announcements, then you can simply go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/CD, or you can go look at the show notes to this podcast. And let me tell you, people, in the show notes to this podcast and to every podcast that I put out, you get links in detail to anything that I talk about. And it's really a great way, after you listen in, whatever, maybe you're out for a run listening or riding your bike or in your car, you can actually go click on anything that I talk about and just kind of refresh everything that I go over, educate yourself, download a couple of PDFs that I usually put in there that link to research studies and things that I talk about. And so if you want to kind of enhance the podcast, you can do that by visiting the website after the show. And make sure that you also, if you haven't yet, sign up for a free newsletter, because in that newsletter, I also put out quite a bit of information. Just this week, sent out an article on from a guest poster to the blog that was an interesting post, and it seemed that he wasn't too fond of pharmaceutical companies. It may have been slightly offensive to any of you who are associated with pharmaceutical companies, but you may want to go check it out. It was an interesting blog post about natural remedies, natural healing, natural medicine, etc. So make sure you look at the show notes to all the podcast that we put out and check out that 1,500 minutes of audio. Also, if you haven't gotten your BenGreenfieldFitness.com t-shirt yet, it takes me about anywhere from 5 to 10 hours a week to research and put together this podcast and get it out to you. And if you donate to the show, and there's a button on the show, or if you go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com and you go to the right-hand side of the page, there's a button there where you can donate. It helps me put this show out, helps me justify the time that I put into it, and then you also get a midnight black and lime green t-shirt that says, my personal trainer told me to eat more fat. And if you want to know why the t-shirt says that, just go to the website and search for, you could probably just search for the word fat, and you'll find the article where we talked about good reasons why people need to eat more fat. So you may remember that about 20 days ago, the Shape 21 Challenge started, and that's a 63-day fat loss program that a group of males and females are doing to win over $400 in prizes over at my website, Shape 21, where I have a nutrition and lean body exercise manual. It's a grocery shopping list, meal planning, exercise, workout manual that kind of teaches you exactly what you would have to do to lose the maximum amount of fat in 21 days. Well, this group is going through the book three times. So it's a 63-day fat loss challenge. They're going all the way through the book to day 21. Then they're going back to the beginning and starting over at page one. And the idea is that the book has beginner, intermediate, and advanced levels, so you get to kind of step it up as you go. But here are some quotes from some of the people who are in that challenge. This is from Marge. I'm so proud that I'm still following the plan every day. I've lost 5 kilograms. She's from Australia, so I guess that translates to about a little over 10 pounds, which I am just delighted about. Some days I have to have a conversation with myself to actually do the exercises, but I always do, and then I feel so good physically and emotionally. I love the pear and avocado salad. The flavors are so great together. I'm certainly challenged by all the exercises, but I guess I would say that my favorite exercise this week was the V-hover, because I really want to get rid of the weight around my stomach. And then Jesse says, I'm really seeing a noticeable difference in my abs so far. The ab strength training coupled with the fat loss is noticeable. My favorite meal this week was the Azteca chicken. I actually made it for some friends coming over for dinner, and they asked for the recipe. I've been feeling really good about my efforts to maintain the menus while traveling. And then M says, wow, another week down. We're moving right along. I'm still loving the variety and continually challenging workouts. My favorite exercise was a torso twist on day 10 with the deadlifts. They were super challenging, but I felt strong doing them. My favorite food was the oats with the berries and the protein powder. It kept me full all morning long. So satisfying. And then finally, Mindy says, my favorite workout this week was the cardio booster from day 9. I enjoyed pushing myself as hard as I could for a minute, but then forcing myself to jog while recovering. I have to say that my favorite thing that went into my mouth this week was a lemon Bumble bar. It is my favorite energy bar so far, but I'm looking forward to the cherry chocolate Bumble bar. It's nice to know that I get to have this snack if needed every few days. My muscles are starting to make an appearance, which is so exciting for me. And if you went and listened to the comments or read the comments from last week, we have people in just the first 10 days losing 8 pounds, 9 pounds, 10 pounds. So it's pretty cool. And the book's not available until July 23rd. But if you want to follow these people's stories, see how much fat the human body can actually lose over 63 days, just hop on over to the link that I have there in the show notes. Click on it and you'll be able to go track their stories. So we are going to move on to this week's listener Q&A, and there's quite a bit of a variety in this week's questions, but a lot of great information.
Listener Q&A.
The first question for this week comes from listener David, who asks, does walking and jogging at the same pace burn the same number of calories? For example, does a speed walker going 5 miles an hour expend the same number of calories as a slow jogger going 5 miles per hour? What I'm getting at is, what's the more efficient mode, fast walk or slow jog? Let me begin by saying that I have done speed walking before with a professional speed walker, and it is very difficult. My shins felt like they were going to literally like fall off my legs after about a quarter mile. And so speed walking, if you really truly are speed walking and going as fast as you're able to physically walk, can actually be quite exhilarating and burn quite a few calories. When you say speed walking, David, and if you really truly are speed walking at the same pace as you are jogging, then it is far less efficient. What we learn in biomechanics is that the human body reaches a certain speed where running becomes more efficient than walking. Most of us just intuitively can feel when that speed occurs. If we were on a treadmill and we started it up at a nice slow walk and gradually added a little bit each minute, we would get to a point where it was almost impossible to walk and we would have to begin jogging. And that is the point where it becomes more efficient to adopt a running type of gait. And it's going to vary for everybody based off their limb length and their body type. But the idea is that walking is more efficient than running up to a certain speed, and then running becomes far more efficient than walking. And that's because when you run, you tend to lean forward and take advantage of the fact that the ground, when your foot strikes, is going to help rebound and push you forward, versus when walking, you're typically leaning back and you have a much greater amount of heel strike. So in terms of the more efficient mode, the fast walk or the slow jog, by the time you really are speed walking, you're typically going so fast that jogging becomes more efficient. And for those of you who have tried speed walking, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. You feel like you're putting the brakes on with each step and not doing what you could do if you were to simply lean forward and start jogging. There's no studies that I'm aware of that looks at the actual speed at which jogging becomes more efficient than walking. But like I say, it's very easy to just intuitively figure out on your own by getting on a treadmill, gradually making it faster. And the point where your body begins to really feel like running is typically the point where it's going to be more efficient to run. Our bodies are pretty smart. In terms of whether walking or jogging at the same pace burns the same number of calories, if you are at a pace at which speed walking or walking in general becomes very difficult, the amount of arm swing and leg propulsion that's going to have to occur to actually keep you at that speed is probably going to burn more calories than if you were jogging and taking advantage of that little bit of rebound that you get off the ground. Very simple way to figure this out is to simply take your heart rate when you're speed walking for 5 miles an hour and take your heart rate when you're slow jogging for 5 miles an hour. Whichever one elicits the higher heart rate is the one that's using more oxygen, and whichever one is using more oxygen is burning more calories, because every time you breathe in a certain number of milliliters of oxygen, it's associated with a certain number of calories burnt. So it sounds simple and stupid, but anytime your heart is beating faster, you're burning more calories, period. It's that simple, because the heart starts beating faster when it has to deliver more oxygen to muscle tissue. And there's a direct correlation between oxygen consumption and caloric utilization. So just take your heart rate. It's very simple. But a great question. Interesting question. Now, I had another person named David also ask a different David ask a question. He says, I am a 54-year-old novice aspiring to do a first-time triathlon. I come from a running background and unfortunately never had any swimming lessons growing up. I've taught myself to do a basic breaststroke. So I have a question. Can you do the breaststroke in a sprint triathlon, or is it too slow or too energy inefficient a stroke? I.e., can I swim the quarter mile using this stroke in approximately 10 minutes and 45 seconds? Now, if we look at the actual world records in the breaststroke versus the freestyle, it's very evident that the freestyle is faster and significantly faster. For example, the 200 meter freestyle world record is held by Michael Phelps, and it's 1 minute and 42 seconds. Whereas the world record for the breaststroke over 200 meters is held by a Japanese gentleman named Kosuke Kitayama, and it is 2 minutes and 7 seconds. So let's see, that's 25 seconds slower for every 200 meters in the breaststroke. So for every 1400 meters, you would be looking at it being 175 seconds or almost 2.5 minutes slower to swim that breaststroke versus the freestyle. Actually, almost 3 minutes slower to swim the breaststroke versus the freestyle. So you could do it, but you'd be significantly slower. Now, if your concern isn't speed, then there is something else that you should be concerned about, and that is the fact that the breaststroke uses a significantly greater amount of propulsion from the legs, and particularly the inner thighs and the quads. And if you are planning on getting out of the water after doing 1500 meters of breaststroke and attempting to ride a bicycle, your legs are going to be far more tired after breaststroke than after freestyle. And the reason for that is that breaststroke is just a slightly less efficient stroke and requires more leg propulsion. And a study that was done in the European Journal of Applied Physiology, it looked at propulsive efficiency of the breaststroke and the freestyle swimming, and it found that the overall propulsive efficiency for the arm stroke part of the stroke was higher for freestyle, meaning that freestyle, it's more efficient in the upper body to be stroking with your arms, but in the breaststroke, more efficiency comes from the legs. And so essentially what it comes down to is that you're going to be pulling yourself through the water with your arms more when you're doing freestyle. You're going to be pushing yourself through the water more with the breaststroke. When you're doing breaststroke, the breaststroke overall is slower. It's going to use up the legs more. You could do it in a triathlon, but it is not going to be the best stroke to choose. But actually, if you look at the backstroke and the world record in the backstroke, it's only about 10 seconds slower per 200 meters. It's a little bit more similar in terms of efficiency to the freestyle. And so if you're more comfortable doing backstroke and you can figure out how to swim in a straight line doing backstroke, that might be a better stroke to choose than the breaststroke if you're able to do that more comfortably. What I would recommend is that you just practice that freestyle and even mix up the freestyle and the breaststroke if that's something that you need to do. But a great question, and it would be interesting to actually see the final swim time of a 1500 meter breaststroke versus a 1500 meter freestyle. So if any of you have any values for that, send them to me, ben@bengreenfieldfitness.com. Okay, the next question is from listener Buddy, and it's kind of a combination of questions and comments. And what he says is, Ben, I look forward to your weekly podcasts and find them chock full of really great info. I appreciate the details you include regarding the chemistry and biology on the topics you discuss, from the supplements to the Ironman nutrition, as well as the items that aren't mainstream but beneficial, like oregano oil or magnesium. I noticed that there's been some really great info about prostate and prostate health for men, and I love to share this with my husband as well as my father. However, I would love to hear additional info that is women-specific. You mentioned that your wife introduced you to the sport of triathlon, so I'd love to hear from her, or maybe you could use your female clients for some research. A couple of requested items that would be helpful to have an expert like you chime in on: training during our menstrual cycle, perimenopause and menopause, exercise during pregnancy, women-specific supplements, etc. Also, you mentioned that you have a couple little ones at home. Another topic, introducing children into sport and fitness. Thanks for providing a free podcast with such great detail and information. I've listened to many health and fitness podcasts and find yours to be the most detailed. Well, thank you. That's a nice compliment. I agree. We probably could have more information about women-specific training issues on this show. Probably the fact that we have talked more about men's prostate health and increasing the amount of testosterone in men is because the dear host of your show is a male. However, I work with quite a few females. About 70% of my clientele is females, and there is quite a bit of work that I do with those females, especially when it regards women-specific supplements and exercise during pregnancy. I do a lot of prenatal and postnatal nutritional and exercise counseling as well. And so, yes, I agree that doing some shows on those issues would be very helpful. And I will not only include a note to myself to do that in the future, but I'll also let you know that I already have one interview lined up with a woman named Arlene Taylor, who is an expert on brain chemistry, but is also going to talk about women's hormonal issues. And I'm also going to alert you to the fact that I do have access and do use a couple of different women's specific multivitamins and women's specific nutritional supplements. One is designed for women in their childbearing premenopausal years. It's called Enner Essence One, made by the same people that do the Enner Prime and the Enner EFA that I talk about. And that's just got a custom herbal blend in it, in addition to the full profile of multivitamins. And that custom herbal blend is designed to reduce your chances of things like yeast infections and fungus infections. It's designed to increase your potential for fertility, decrease your chances for urinary tract infection, and it's just designed to overall, or in an overall sense, support the human female body in its premenopausal years. I'll put a link to that in the show notes if you want to read more about it. I also have another multivitamin that I use with some of the postmenopausal women that I train, and it's designed to support your hormonal balance and help make the transition into the postmenopausal years a little bit more smooth. And it's basically full of things that help you with the symptoms of menopause, and also helps you with some of the hormonal changes that occur in the postmenopausal years. So I'll put a link to both of those after your question, buddy, and I will also be adding to my notes for the podcast the fact that you would like to hear a little bit more on women's and women and women-specific issues, and I'll try and include some of that, as well as the issue of children and sport and fitness, because I do have a couple of children, and I can tell you that my broad recommendation for children and sport and fitness is to expose your children to as many sports as possible. That is great for them, for their development, and for their coordination. And some of the best athletes on the planet were, you know, four-sport athletes in high school, not people who, you know, took up a sport when they were 2 years old and stuck with it. There are some exceptions to that rule. Fine motor skill sports, tennis, golf. Some of the top athletes in those sports really did truly start when they were 4 years old. Incidentally, my children are left-handed and right-handed twins, and I have interest in them playing tennis, and I've already got them out on the tennis court when myself and my wife are hitting around, but I will be introducing them also to many, many other sports in addition to tennis. So we'll get a child developmental physiologist, biologist, or psychologist on the show to talk more about children and sports and fitness in the future, and I've already started to hunt one down, buddy. So great question. And then our final question comes from listener Sherry, who asks, I've heard that something called electromagnetic fields can be damaging to your health. Is that true? And if so, how can I avoid them? Well, Sherry, there has been concern primarily in a lot of the fringes of health, I guess you could call it, that electromagnetic fields could be hazardous to our health. And most of us like to kind of ignore this research because it would be very, very inconvenient to completely unplug ourselves and live not only off the grid, but also away from anything electric in general, because it really helps make our lives more convenient. But the whole idea is that electromagnetic fields, which are generated from things like power lines, home wiring, airport or military radars, transformers, substations, computers, appliances like microwaves, that they could cause anything from brain tumors to cancer, birth defects, headaches, cataracts, heart problems, chest pain, stress, nausea, forgetfulness, and all sorts of other health problems. And there's been numerous studies on EMF, but they've all produced kind of contradictory results. As a matter of fact, back in 1990, the EPA actually issued a warning that said that there is reason for concern, and they advised prudent avoidance when it comes to exposing children to electromagnetic fields. And during that time, the EPA actually recommended that electromagnetic fields be classified as a Class B carcinogen, meaning a probable human carcinogen that's kind of in the same category as formaldehyde or DDT, PCBs, dioxins, a lot of the other things that we hear about these days, you know, for example, in fish and environmental pollutants. Well, what happened was that a lot of lobbyists were not very happy about this, especially lobbyists in, you know, for example, utility or military or computer. And the EPA ended up retracting that statement because it could not be demonstrably proven how an EMF could actually cause cancer, or even a quantification of how much EMF actually is harmful. So there's also another study out there that looked at the effect of electromagnetic fields on hormones. And there were actually several studies that looked at this. And the primary consensus is that it is possible for electromagnetic fields to actually decrease your brain's production of something called melatonin. And that could not only affect your circadian rhythm and disrupt your sleep cycle, but because melatonin is one of the factors that shuts down the production of or the growth of cancerous cells in mammary tissue, that it actually could technically increase your risk for breast cancer if you are exposed to high levels of electromagnetic fields. Now, two other hormones that have been studied in relation to electromagnetic fields are estrogen and testosterone. And elevated exposure to estrogen over many years can actually increase a woman's cancer risk. And what they found was that they, in a study where they exposed women overnight to high levels of electromagnetic fields, it significantly elevated their estrogen levels, and so it could increase cancer risks for other cancers other than estrogen. And in men, the EMFs actually reduced testosterone, and that drop has been linked to testicular cancer or prostate cancer. So yeah, there's evidence out there. Obviously, you can find a study to prove, you know, almost anything out there on the planet. However, just based on some of the anecdotal evidence, I would just recommend that you be careful with electromagnetic fields. I would not expect you to move out to the countryside where there's no power lines and to necessarily, you know, quit using all your electrical all the electrical objects in your house. However, some of the practical things that you can do is if you use a microwave, I would not spend long periods of time standing in front of your microwave, because that is where the highest amount of electromagnetic field generation actually occurs. I would recommend that you be a little bit careful with your cell phone, that you use the hands-free headset for your cell phone as much as possible, rather than holding the cell phone up to your ear, where the electromagnetic radiation can be much higher. I would recommend that you avoid sleeping on electrical objects or sleeping with electrical objects like electrical blankets or water beds, because those could disrupt your sleep cycle and they may also affect your hormone level. I would avoid sitting for long periods of time staring at a computer. Most of the screens that are placed over monitors don't necessarily block all of the electromagnetic fields. Now, I actually have computer glasses that I use. They're called Gunnar glasses, and they block some of the electromagnetic radiation to your eyes, so you don't get that headache in the back of your eyes after you've been staring at a computer for a long period of time. I'll put a link to those glasses in the show notes so you could check those out. But those work pretty well. They do make your eyes feel a little bit better. Another thing that you can do is if you use electric clocks, and this is something that I started doing a long time ago, I unplug almost everything in the bedroom except a fan before I go to bed at night. If you have an electric clock, an alarm clock, those actually generate quite a high frequency of electromagnetic field. I would consider unplugging your electric clock. And what I do is I put my cell phone beside my bed, but I turn it off, and then I have an alarm set on it so that the cell phone turns on when the alarm turns on, and most cell phones have that feature nowadays. So just be careful with lots of things that are turned on in your bedroom that carry an electric field, and that will not only help you sleep better, but it will also reduce some of the potential risk of electromagnetic fields. Obviously, a lot more study to be done in this area. However, for those of us who have spent a long time sitting in front of a computer or talking on a cell phone held up close to our ears, or maybe staring at a TV for a long period of time, or just spending time with a lot of electricity coming at us, we've kind of felt that little buzz in our heads, that little drop in energy levels. And so you can kind of feel it if you spend a lot of time in a high EMF area. So just be careful. I wouldn't say that there's tons of research out there, and I definitely wouldn't say that you should quit using anything electric. Just use prudence and try and adopt a few of the tips that I just gave you. And so with that said, we're going to go ahead and move on to this week's interview on Ayurvedic medicine and mineral supplementation, where you're going to learn all about monatomic elements and even an interesting piece of information about volcanic ore that can help detoxify the body. This is our interview with Ambaya from AmbayaGold.com.
Featured topic.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Ben Greenfield, and perhaps you've heard of Ayurvedic medicine, and perhaps you listened in to the talk last week, which covered in just a little bit of detail the concept of minerals and how important they are to our health. Well, I'm going to be continuing that conversation and continuing that topic in today's interview, and I have a woman named Ambaya on the other line, and Ambaya has a background in Ayurvedic medicine and has quite a few interesting formulas and minerals and ways to actually help to get your body to work the way that it's supposed to work. So, Ambaya, thanks for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to
yeah.
be here.
Well, mm-hmm. tell me a little bit about your background.
Okay, well, let's see how far back you want to go, but I am basically a daughter of a doctor who was very, very committed to healing. So my whole life I have been around that modality, just being healthy. I don't remember ever taking an aspirin or seeing my father even have a headache, but there were several people coming to see him all the time, and it was always perplexing to me as to why everybody else was sick and what he would do that that would keep himself and us healthy. And as I grew up, I really got interested in more and more of the natural ways of healing rather than the allopathic ways, because all those medicines just didn't make sense to me. But I got into Ayurvedic medicine in a very beautiful way, and I deeply fell in love with it out of the deep knowledge that for me, I consider it's our birthright. And it's the knowledge of the laws of nature and how when we apply them to our life, nature by its own nature will nurture us. You know, all of those words seem to have the same root. And so the reason I like Ayurveda and the reason I enjoy learning about it was because all of nature is made up of these elements that when they give us a certain amount of qualities or a certain kind of qualities that feed different parts of our bodies.
Interesting. So, and if I could interrupt for just a second, you're talking about these elements. I don't know that much about Ayurvedic medicine, but I have heard the terms thrown around before, fulvic acid and humic acid. And when you're talking about elements, are those the two elements that you're talking about in terms of the biological compounds that are the core of Ayurvedic medicine?
Well, actually, I was talking more general before we even get to the fulvic and the acid. You know, mm-hmm. is the earth, the air, the fire, the water, and the ether that the earth is actually made up of. But underneath that, well, what is the earth made up of? And of course, there is a lot of minerals and elements that make up the earth. So when I met the man that makes our formula, Medicine Wolf, I got very, very interested in learning what made up the earth, because in my Ayurvedic studies, I had studied the qualities of the earth and how they feed us. So one of the things that I discovered in making and what made up the earth elements, when Medicine Wolf would work with fulvic acid and humic acid.
And if I could interrupt for just a second again. You know, mm-hmm. you said that when you met the person who was making the formulas that you're working with now, and what did you say his name was?
Medicine Wolf. He's referred to as Medicine Wolf.
And mm-hmm. and what does Medicine Wolf do?
Well, he's a biophysicist. He started out as a veterinarian and became a medical doctor and became a homeopath, a naturopath, and then a biophysicist in order to make his own medicine. So he's quite versed in earth medicine. And
so now you work alongside yes. him in creating medicines that are based on these Ayurvedic principles?
Yes, he's my okay. life partner, and we work together.
I see. And this is the place where I found you was at this website, ambayagold.com, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes for this interview. But is that the place where you actually feature the medicines that you and Medicine Wolf make?
Yes, this is where we...
Ambayagold.com.
Ambayagold.com.
Okay. All right, so you said that you started to learn more about these things?
Yes, I started learning more about what the different components that made up the earth that gave us the qualities that they gave us. So because of Medicine Wolf's background as a biophysicist, I started learning all of the elemental charts and all of the importance of all of the minerals. And to make a long story short, the fulvic acid, the humic acid, both of them actually, are made up of all of the DNA that go back many, many millions of years ago. So they're going to deliver to our system everything that we need. And, of course, there is a processing of delivery that allows us to be able to take them into our cellular structure and use them. We're not just out there eating dirt, but mm-hmm. in essence, we actually are. It's just that it's extracted in a very fine way with very fine sources so that it is not contaminated and it is absorbed by the body.
And so what you're doing is you're creating medicines for human function, human performance, that are concentrations of these two acids that you're talking about, the humic acid and the fulvic acid?
Well, that we use in part as some mm-hmm. of our bases, but that's mm-hmm. not the whole story.
Okay.
Yes, and he's been working with this for about 40 years or more. Mm-hmm. So he's the one that brought the attention to the Western world mm-hmm. as to how. So he's quite well-versed. And in these 40 years that he's been working with them, he has refined the use of these two particular ingredients. But we add into our formulas some very key elements.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up with a very, very efficient delivery service, delivery system that allows the cells to be fed intracellularly, and which means that the cells are going to be taking into their cellular structure exactly what they need immediately, and they're going to also release that which they no longer use very efficiently so that there's no accumulation of toxins.
Mm-hmm. And how do you actually, you know, to get the base that you're producing these type of medicines with, how are you actually harvesting the humic acid and the fulvic acid? Where does that come from? You know, obviously you just don't bend down and pick up a handful of dirt, I'm assuming.
Right. Well, there are several deposits of these shale, basically, that you have all over the world, and some of them are clean, some of them are not, and some of them are coarse and some of them are fine, and you can refine them. We use medical grade, and the process of the extraction is his proprietary way. But the main thing to know about it is that we use a very, very, very clean water. We remove all of the signatures from the water and then extract the fluids. And so we start with just H2O. And then to that, we add the frequencies of 528, which is the frequency of divine love. And then from there, you start bringing in all of whatever you want to add to the...
Okay, so you actually expose your medicines to frequencies, and I'm somewhat familiar about this. You know, like I think it was last year this research came out that was actually looking at how the structure of water changed in direct correlation to exposure to, I guess, positive thoughts or prayers or something of that nature. But you're actually exposing your compounds prior to actually adding the minerals, et cetera, that you add to them to a certain electrical frequency. Is that right?
Well, they're more than electrical frequencies. Mm-hmm. They are just frequencies. Mm-hmm. I guess you can measure them electrically, but mm-hmm. everything is made up of frequency. Mm-hmm. So it is life itself, and it is vibrating at different frequencies or different, that's how we can identify them. And water being the universal solvent and being a very impregnable solution is whatever you speak to it or whatever you expose it to, it's going to retain. And it will carry that until something else comes and takes over.
Okay. Now, so you have this fulvic and the humic acid, and you've exposed it to frequencies. And as far as the how that works inside the human body, what would these two type of acids actually be used for in the human body? What role do they play that someone would actually want to ingest them?
Okay. One of them is very clearly, how can I say this? It builds your immune system, for one thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And because it is made up of everything that your DNA is made up of, it restores and it allows the regeneration of the DNA. It also allows the regeneration of the mitochondria cell, the power cell of energy. The body basically needs all of the raw materials with which to run.
Mm-hmm.
And when it doesn't have it, it's going to have to rob it from wherever it can. So the body will always be compromising.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's not readily available, it's going to take, let's say, calcium. If it's not readily available, it's going to take it from the bones. And then the bones eventually will become very brittle. So by having the raw materials in their correct proportion, the body will be able to stay healthy. And not only stay healthy, but thrive. Because the body is ultimately very intelligent. So all it needs is the flow not to be interrupted and the life to be able to be sustained with the raw materials so that it can actually do its work. Can you hold 1 second, please?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, hold on.
And so while I am on hold with Ambaya, I am... going to kind of clarify for just a second that this AmbayaGold.com actually, they're one of the places where you can actually get high quality minerals that are actually used for processes within your body, primarily, conductance of energy, maintenance of electrochemical gradients, and, you know, as Ambaya was referring to, bone health. Muscle integrity.
Right.
Sounds like she's back.
Okay.
Okay. So,
anyway, in our program, we have 5 steps. Okay. The very first one is hydration, because the body needs water, obviously, something to flow. And it doesn't only need the water, it needs the minerals that bring about, that can hold the electricity into the body to actually flow. So without hydration, without the body's ability to take into the cells that which it needs and eliminate that which it doesn't need, there is no flow. Mm-hmm. And if there is flow, but there is no minerals, the minerals are the ones, especially in their ionic form, they are the ones that maintain a 70 to 90 millivolt of electricity to run the body. When we don't have enough minerals, then we can't hold that electric charge and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you have flow, you also have the ability with the minerals to be able to have charge or voltage. And then, so you have good flow and you have good ability to hold that charge. But then what happens with the state of toxicity in our environment, it keeps blocking the flow. All of the heavy metals, all of the industrial chemicals, all of the pathogenic bacteria and viruses, they act as an interruption to the flow. So when we remove those obstructions, then the flow, with its mineralization, can actually do its work of regeneration. And regeneration is what the body does naturally. It is said, and it was found out by Alexis Corral many, many years ago, that the cell of life is immortal. Given its environment, in which the cells float, the cells can stay alive for a very, very long time. And I think he kept chicken cells alive for like 35 years, and then medicine wolf kept them alive for about 15 years and got bored after that.
But bored with the chicken cells.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so, So this hydration that you talk about, that's kind of your first step in the program that you use, the first step is hydration. But what you're saying is that the hydration has to take place with the right type of water?
Oh, the right type of water, yes.
And what is the right type of water?
Well, we use highly structured water, biophotonic hexagonal water that makes your water full of life, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's clean so that only those frequencies that you want to put in it are carried in it. And what we also have is the monoatomic platinum group metals in our hydration formula, so that these are signatures that are going to be absorbed instantly by the body. And these platinum group metals are in our body anyway in a very minute amounts in correct ratios. So if you replenish them to the cells are going to be very happy.
And what do you do to the water to actually make it, as you referred to it, monatomic hexagonal?
There are some filtration systems that we use one of them is not really a filtration device. It's actually a structuring water device that imitates nature. And then there's two other filters that they use at the lab that filter our water that make it just clearly H2O. Mm-hmm. And then we start from there.
And is this something, this type of water, what happens if you just add it to a normal, you know, if you were to take drops of the water that you have at Ambaya Gold and to add it to, say, like an 8-ounce glass of regular water from your tap, is there any type of advantage to doing something like that?
Actually, there is, because structured water will restructure more water as it takes into its molecular structure everything that is bad for life and releases everything that is good for life, which is the mandate of water. And water restructures itself by itself, like through the clouds and the rain and the springs and the rivers and the ocean and the waves, you know, how it tumbles and turns and it creates and separates the hydrogen from the oxygen and it takes in the biophotons and releases them. And you can actually see this movement be tested. And the biophotons, you can see the electroactivity, I guess is what you would call it, very readily.
So after,
it's quite exciting.
After someone has been properly hydrated with this type of water, you said that there are five steps that you follow, or the water is the first step, so I guess there would be four additional steps?
Right, and one thing I didn't mention to our water is that we also have a very highly oxygenated, and that is key since the oxygen is like the breath of life. So it's not only the structured water, it's also oxygenated water, and it's also monoatomically reinforced.
What do you mean monatomic? I think our audience might not understand exactly what that would refer to.
The monatomic is the very smallest amount. It's not even particle size anymore. It is the signatures of the platinum group metals that we use in their smallest atomic form, so that they are instantly delivered to the cell.
Okay. Well, I mean, like in chemistry, I guess in college we learned, I believe that the monatomic or a monatomic electron, I guess, would be spinning faster, or being
what's
called a high spin state. So is that what you're referring to?
That's what I'm referring to,
quicker. So you have these monatomic minerals that you're actually, or I'm sorry, you're actually changing the structure of the water to introduce monatomic elements. Is that correct?
Well, yes. We are actually doing the vortex or the high spin
Okay, I
see. It cleanses the water, and it also, the monatomic is a result of the high-spin technology that allows the the elements to go to its zero point, which is its smallest molecule size.
So what it comes down to is that this type of water is, it more easily allows the body to hydrate itself, but also things that are mixed into this type of water would tend to be absorbed more fully or at a faster pace?
Yes, instantly, actually.
Mm-hmm. So after the step of hydration that you were talking about, what comes next?
Remineralization. We remineralize the body because minerals is they're the building blocks of our body, basically. They hold the energy and they make everything run in our body.
Well, everything in our body is based off of communication, right?
Between
cells. And that's what I was mentioening to the audience when we were on hold is that minerals carry a charge, so they're responsible for the electrical communication between your cells.
Yes, ionic minerals in their ionic form are responsible for the 70 to 90 millivolts of electricity that keep the cell-to-cell communication.
And that's not much, 70 to 90 millivolts, but it's if you didn't have that type of contraction, you'd be dead, right?
Yes, that's right. Nothing happens.
Interesting.
Without it. So our bodies, the way I look at it, are like this big, huge antenna, that is receiving life energy from the source, and then we are running it through this, what I call a temple, in order to be able to express the individual desire of the soul. Mm-hmm. And that's just what I believe we're here to do. But when there is no flow, then everything gets kind of stopped up, and then you can't really realize that which you are here to do. And you become frustrated or not feel fulfilled. But it's basically all a matter of the healthy flow.
Interesting. And so the mineral supplements, we talked about last week about how even organic foods a lot of times are stripped of a lot of the necessary minerals or trace minerals because the soil that they're grown in is still not ideal. And we also talked about all the different type of diseases that could be traced back to mineral deficiencies. And so what you're including in your program is the fact that people need to hydrate their bodies correctly with the right type of water, but at the same time take minerals that are going to be, or along with that water, that are going to be absorbed into the body. And we talked a lot last week about magnesium, but are there other minerals that people should be aware of?
Oh, yes, there's a lot of minerals, and magnesium and potassium are the pump that run the heart. So with that magnesium and potassium, you're not going to do anything. Calcium, of course, it's all formed, all of the bones and all of the regular minerals that we know, like iron and zinc and phosphorus and copper and selenium and iodine, those are like the common ones. But what people don't realize also is that we have the platinum group metals like the gold and the silver and iridium and rhodium and molybdenum. And all of those are also very, very essential, but nobody has ever bothered to tell us that. And when the soil is depleted of those elements, our body really suffers. Because to give you an example, 5% of the brain is made up of just two of those elements.
How would I know if I didn't have enough of those elements in my body?
Well, you may not be able to think correctly. You may not be able to have any stamina.
Well, I mean, is there like a way to actually test and find out how many minerals are in your body?
We do, yes. We actually do hair analysis. And the hair is the end result of is the waste of your bones, basically. And it's about, with the hair sample, we can tell what your body is made up of for the last 6 months. And so we take a hair analysis and it gives us the content of the heavy metals or some of the chemicals and also the state of all of the minerals in the body, whether they're low or high.
I'm just interested. How much does something like that cost to do a hair analysis and analyze the number of minerals in your body?
We charge $265 for a very special formula that we formulate with the hair analysis. I mean, yeah, from the hair analysis and also the hair analysis and the results. We charge $265. If somebody wanted to just take the hair analysis and interpret it on their own, you can get it for about $125 from us, or maybe $95 or something from just straight lab.
Interesting. But, so you have hydration, you have remineralization, and then what is the third step that you recommend in your health?
The
protocol?
Third one is very, very important, and that is detoxification. And the detoxification that we recommend is actually the ability for you to not accumulate new toxins. It seems like in this world and age, since the environment is so polluted, we really, even though we may be careful as to not to expose ourselves to some of these chemicals, we can't help but breathing them in, touching them, drinking them, just from being alive in the world today. So our zeolite formula allows us to not keep them in our body. We know that we're going to breathe them in. We know we're going to probably be bathing in them. We know we're probably going to be touching them somehow, even if when we don't want to. So the only choice we have is not keeping them in us. And Mother Nature has a great gift. And the zeolite that we obtain from the shales is a... it's a compound. Well, it's not really a compound.
What did you call it? Zeolite?
Zeolite, uh-huh.
That comes zeolite. From volcanoes, doesn't it?
Well, it's a result of the volcano meeting the ocean floor and the fauna. And through eons, when all of this got trapped in certain veins, if you call it, it's all over the world. It's in different parts. But you can extract this zeolite, and the zeolite actually has a very natural chelation structure, and that means that it pulls out toxins out of the cells. Now, our formula farther...
How does it do that?
It does it kind of like...
Can I get the other phone, or are you tied up?
Oh, we're tied up in this one.
Okay.
So it does the chelation, like it has like a honeycomb structure that pulls into its structure anything that is not good for life. And it then runs it through the body. Our formula farther neutralizes the effects of these toxins so that it no longer contaminates you on while you're eliminating them. So you have no chance of contaminating the urinary tract.
And interesting.
It's very, very, very efficient. We have seen people have amazing results with just taking what doesn't belong in the body out.
So essentially it's a honeycomb structure,
mm-hmm.
and it's a negatively charged, or has a negative magnetic charge, and that can actually draw in heavy metals and toxins and, I guess... The type of things that would be in your body if you'd been eating concession store gas station food for the past 2 years?
Yes, but also just walking outside. I'll give you an example. I know this man who is a marathon runner who eats very well and is just always concerned with his health and is always doing good things. But he runs in the streets of Washington, D.C. area, and he has more aluminum than anybody else we've ever tested. And that's because he's breathing in so deeply and so much of whatever is there that is just impacting his system very deeply. So even though he wants to do well, he is actually hurting himself.
Interesting.
Because of breathing all that. So if he takes the zeolite, it will keep it under control more and more. At least he has a chance. So we've seen in all of the hair analysis that we do, when people take the zeolite, we've seen a real reduction in all of the heavy heavy metal activity and a lot of the heavy industrial toxicity.
Interesting. So you detoxify with this zeolite mineral, and what is step four?
Well, to open up the flow of life so that the body can actually do its regeneration. You know, we regenerate ourselves every day. We regenerate most of our body every year. So it, that is a very natural process of the body, but it can't really do it if there is no flow, and it can't do it if it is interrupted with all of these things that it's trying to figure out how to digest when it's not going to, because they're not recognizable by the body to be digested. So they create a very bad situation. They tax the digestive system and no transformation in the body.
So are we talking, when you talk about repair and regeneration, about removing all the free radicals from the body? Are we talking about literally repairing muscle fibers? Or what do you do with
all,
the repair and the regeneration
all of it.
Phase?
We're regenerating the DNA, and in regenerating the DNA, the whole body gets more and more alive.
And on a practical level, how does that occur, the repair and the regeneration?
So on a practical level, you take in, let's say we have a formula that we call the essence of life, okay? It is a multivitamin, multimineral, multi-amino acid formula that is all monoatomic, and so it's going to go instantly into the body. The vitamins are going to do their work. The B vitamins are going to make the minerals work better in repairing whatever is wrong with your body, wherever the weaknesses are. Let's say.
And how you have to remind me, how do you actually make the multivitamin monatomic? Is that where you expose it to the frequency, or expose it to
We actually have angstrom minerals, the monatomic angstrom minerals, and we have the fulvic and the humic, which already have natural monatomics in it, and we enhance it with all of the other monatomic frequencies also, with the frequency of live age, I mean, of 528. And it's just a proprietary way of making the mono, a very, very efficient monoatomic formula that's very, very clean and very efficient.
And this is the way that someone actually repairs and regenerates their body after they've remineralized and detoxed their body.
That's correct.
Okay.
Because the body is then getting all of the necessary raw materials, and the body, with its ultimate intelligence, is going to know how to repair itself. And it knows how to do that better than us. All we have to do is prepare, give it what it needs, and allow the cells to float in a healthy environment so that they can multiply.
And what is step five? It seems like you'd be in pretty good shape after you've done these first four steps, but what does step five involve?
The step five is very sweet, because when you reach a level of harmony, let's say, of homeostasis, the body has to maintain that. So you maintain it by eating or taking the things that work for the body, that the body needs. But then what happens is that you, and here's where the integration comes into place. Once you are well, your body kind of becomes transparent to you. Then you get more and more in touch with that spiritual side of you, the essence of what your purpose here. You're able to connect to source. You're able to express yourself fully without anything holding you back. So you see a very high level of consciousness and awareness that comes to people, to where they feel happier, they feel more loving, they feel more fulfilled. And these monoatomic elements, I think, carry a very high vibration that allows us to stay in a very high state of well-being, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spirit. And to tell you the truth, that is why I do what I do, because I like to see people well, and I like to see them express who they are. I like to play with people, and I like the individuality that flourishes when we don't have to be dealing with illness.
Interesting. And so if I could sum this up and express what I'm hearing, it's that minerals are obviously very important for the human body. We've spent a couple weeks on this show talking quite a bit about them and their importance in maintaining primarily the communication between cells, that electrical mm-hmm. current that occurs between cells. And that minerals that are very, very small are sometimes things that we don't pay attention to, called these monatomic minerals. And they're actually faster spinning minerals that allow the speed of communication between cells to occur at a more rapid pace.
Well, and they're platinum group metals in their mm-hmm. monatomic state.
Okay, I see.
You can put anything in the monatomic state.
And in addition to those smaller monatomic state minerals that are platinum minerals, these fulvic and humic acids, which are extracted from the deeper layers of the earth, they actually are used to catalyze functions within the body that allow the absorption and assimilation of these minerals.
Well, yes, and they are the actual salt of the earth, if you want
okay,
to call
so
it.
Okay, so they
that.
Actually yes, contain they are... minerals. This is the earth that contains the minerals.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes, and not only that, when they have been tested, they contain the same immunological factors as the human mother's milk.
Okay, interesting. And so you by changing the actual structure of the water, or allowing water to become more hexagonal, you can ensure that when minerals are taken along with this water, that you're getting the cleanest, purest, quickest absorption and activity possible.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you can essentially strip many of the heavy metals and the toxins that are going to interfere with the action of these minerals from the body using something like this volcanic zeolite?
Correct.
Okay.
And you have to be careful of which zeolite you use, because some zeolites are more coarse than others, and some zeolites are maybe contaminated. And so zeolite is becoming very popular. You just have to be careful as to, you know, do your due diligence and get the zeolite that is going to be healthy.
Interesting. So you want to make sure that you're getting a high-grade zeolite. And is that a... Is that monitored at all by the FDA or the USDA?
All of these, the fulvic and the humic and all of these things have been approved by the FDA as safe.
So once you actually have all this in place, then you would maintain the type of health that you've achieved by ensuring that you're taking in a high-quality multivitamin and continuing with mineral
yes.
supplementation?
Uh-huh. Well, you maintain, hopefully, by taking, you know, the zeolite probably for life, because even though we would love to clean our Mother Earth, I don't think it's going to happen overnight or in our lifetime. So we ensure that we stay clean through the use of the zeolite so that we're not constantly stressed out as to, you know, worrying about it all. So we just be responsible for it. And we maintain the essence of life, which is the multi-mineral formula mm-hmm. and the good hydration. So if we were living in the Himalayas where we could drink our water and have everything be very, very pure, then we wouldn't need anything other than what that environment provided. But since we're here in the United States or the Western world, we live among all of this technology, this electromagnetic interference. We have to now take other steps for our survival, for our mm-hmm. thriving in this, and we have to adapt. And so yeah. maintenance, as much as we hate to buy things because we think that, you know, we should do very well without them, I think that we have kind of blown that possibility. I think us humans have kind yeah. of ruined that for ourselves. So in the interim, the long-term ideal would be to refurbish the earth so that it can give us the vegetables and the fruits that we need, and photosynthesis can deliver them to us like it should. Mm-hmm. So We also have some soil products with that aim, but that's going to take a long time before we can do it in mass. So in the interim, we have to do something. Yeah, and this is what we've devised.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, most of your products I'm looking over, these are just liquids that you would take, you know, by the teaspoon or the tablespoon or a few drops of this and that you'd put into a glass of water. So quite interesting. It seems very convenient, very achievable. You know, I have one other question for you. I was going to ask you if someone in the audience wants to, say, read up on this a little bit more, educate themselves, do you have, say, one of the top books that you would recommend for someone who maybe doesn't have a huge science background, but really, you know, wants to be able to educate themselves in a way that they can practically understand what's going on, but also see how it could help them, you know, physically or spiritually?
Well, I think that for our particular products, if people read the information that's on the website, the humic and the fulvic, we actually are working on a book that will be available probably in the next 3 months or something. So I don't have a book right now that I would recommend. However, any information that people attain from humic or fulvic in the internet will give them a high respect of why this is so essential for us at this time.
Humic and fulvic acid. And I'll make sure I spell those in the show notes of this podcast so people want to go in and learn a little bit more about them. And I guess at this point, even Google them. And maybe you can shoot me an email and I can let our audience know when your book is released so that they can learn a little bit more, Ambaya.
Okay, very good. And then if they just go on the website, they can find out all kinds of information that is pertinent to all of this. And
fantastic.
I think it's quite informative.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And that's ambayagold.com, ambayagold.com. This is Ben Greenfield and Ambaya. And Ambaya, I wanted to thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you, Ben, for having me. And I hope that it can help a lot of people.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
So I'm going to put a link in the show notes to Ambaya's website, ambayagold.com. And Ambaya did send me some samples of some of the things that she was talking about. I have been taking them, and I have to say, I have noticed it's kind of an interesting, very subtle kind of increase in energy, increase in focus. And the humic acid and the fulvic acid and some of these essence of life extracts and monatomic minerals, they're just little drops and little sprinkles that you put into water. Water, and the water tastes just a little bit more minerally, but you do feel a little bit of a boost in energy. So it's interesting stuff, and I think it definitely has some promise. So I would recommend that you check out the link in the show notes to that. So what else do I have in the show notes for links that I can remind you about? The glasses that help to shield the magnetic fields, electromagnetic fields, I'll put a link to those in there. I'll put a link to our other interview on magnesium with Dr. Mark Circus. And then I'll also put a link to the Shape 21 Lean Body Challenge website so you can see how much fat people can actually lose in 63 days. A link for those of you in the local Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area who want to reserve your spot in the Unparalleled Secrets of Fat Loss 5-week clinic. A link to the Ben Greenfield Fitness 1500 minutes of audio on that 10 CD multi-disc set. And then finally, if you want to donate to the show and get a free t-shirt, then you can do so by just going to the website and scrolling down the right-hand side of the page. So that's all the information for this week from the BenGreenfieldFitness.com podcast. Remember, if you want to leave us a rank in iTunes, just go to iTunes and you can generate some feedback. You can even just click and leave us a few stars. And if you leave feedback, let other people know what you liked about the show. And just like Buddy did in this week's podcast, email me if you have things that you would like to see on the show. And I will definitely work on getting it into the show. Oh, and that also reminds me, I'll put a link to some of those women's specific multivitamins that Buddy talked about right after her question. So until next week, this is Ben Greenfield signing out. We have some great information coming up on improving your open water swim technique and also on bone density and improvement of bone density in next week's podcast. And so for any of you down there racing in the Boise Half Ironman, I know there's some triathletes that listen into this show, definitely look me up, say hello. I'll be down there at the Boise 70.3, and as long as I survive that, I'll be coming to you next week from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Have a healthy week. Over and out.